T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
But he's got to be aware of Derek White on the quick pass back. Osa.
White will inbound. It's off to Smart for the seventh game. Sounded, the light was on, it'll be reviewed.
I don't think he got that in time. Great effort by Derek White.
And didn't I say you have?
Oh, they're saying on the floor, they're counting it. To win and we're going to game seven.
The Celtics are going to win. There's a game seven back in Boston.
What a finish to this game.
Stunned. People here are absolutely stunned. A rush shot that went in and out, by the way, by Marcus Smart. That's what allowed Derek White the offensive rebounding opportunity. Bucket good. We're headed to Beantown
for a game seven in what has been an improbable Eastern Conference final.
Woo-hoo-hoo, baby! This is the Producer Show, Part 2. Shime and Garvin here for you, reacting to everything Boston Celtics. Ryan, I'm still processing what I watched last night. A lot of people were crying in Miami last night.
Sleep was a challenge for me.
I think you told me pre-show.
Talking, what kind of crying are we talking? Tears of joy, tears of sadness?
I think the people in Miami were crying tears of sadness. We here in Boston were crying tears of joy, because in what seemed like a remarkable meltdown, ended in one of the craziest finishes
ever in basketball, because you got to see, the internet was so much fun last night,
which is
part of the reason I had such a hard time going to bed. One, because I was just completely juiced on the whole final sequence of this, one of the most absurd basketball games you're going to see. But then getting to see the reactions of people, like, how often do you get an ending in sports where you get to see, you get to feel the highest of highs and the lowest of lows in the matter of 2 seconds? If you were a Heat fan, you must have felt so good when they overturned, I think that's how they ruled it, they overturned the foul on Al Horford, and they determined Jimmy Butler wasn't, in fact, behind the three-point line. Three free throws to clinch the game, 3 seconds left on the clock. Oh, we're feeling good. And then again, when Marcus Smart, good morning, Marcus. I hope you're having a nice day today.
Me too.
Because I got some issues with you on that final shot. Marcus Smart rimmed the shot out, which would have staved off elimination for your Boston Celtics. But oh no, because out of the rafters, a hero
emerges
to save the day. And it was Derek frickin' White with the putback of all putbacks. And I don't know about you, Shime, in the moment. First of all, I said one of my all-time favorite prayers, Jaylen Brown was talking about, just saying prayers over and over and over again. The prayer I like to recite, I'm not, a spiritual man, but I always go, please God, not Marcus. Please God, not Marcus. Please God, not Marcus. And wouldn't you know,
Marcus had
Smart,
the ball.
Who had a good game last night, had a very good game last night.
Won
me some money. Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate you. Like I said, I hope you're having a good day. Got the ball in his hands for the last shot. And I'm like, of course, the final shot is going to be on Marcus Smart's hands. And Derek White ripped any kind of pride, joy, swagger that the Miami Heat and the Miami Heat fan base could have had last night. And meanwhile, the Boston Celtics, we're getting like bar celebrations from all over the city. There's people climbing signs on Causeway Street.
It's game six, people. We haven't won quite yet.
We haven't won quite yet. But in the moment, you're going, there's no way that counted. There's no way that counted. And then they showed the final replay, and my head exploded.
And it was clear as day. There is no controversy to the fact that that counted. The ball was out and off the glass with 0.1 seconds left in the game.
You go from, oh, my God, this is the end of the season. Do you know how close we were to coming in this morning and saying, welcome to the unofficial start of the 2023 Boston Red Sox season, everybody? They got a big win, broke a losing streak in Arizona last night.
We would have been chanting fire Joe Mazzulla from the rafters. We would have been a miserable mess this morning if it wasn't for Derek White. And it just, the fact that he inbounded that ball too and still ended up getting the putback was just unbelievable. I still can't get over the fact that this team blew a 10-point lead with, what, like 3 minutes left to go in this game? And it just felt the offense disappeared. They were stagnant. Jimmy Butler just kept getting to the free throw line. They were getting points without time coming off the clock. And all of the panic, it's so similar to that Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Where I watched that ball that Russell Wilson throws down the sidelines get caught in a ridiculous fashion, and the first things that came out of my mouth were, oh, God, not like this.
And that was exactly what happened with Jimmy Butler getting those free throws. You're going, oh, my God, this is how this season is going to end. And listen, call in and celebrate with us, 617-779-7937. I'm trying. So I told myself last night, regardless of the outcome, I'm going to try really hard not to just do a big two-hour victory lap of I told you so.
But
I'm trying really hard, Shime, really freaking hard to just not go, ha ha, ha ha, why isn't anybody listening to me? I tried to tell you this. I've been saying it for months now, and I am not backing off at this point that the Miami Heat is not that team. Jimmy Butler is not that guy. I'll have plenty of time to get to that, but when you think, first of all, you say the 10-point deficit that just disappeared for the Miami Heat. Nothing should shock us at this point.
No.
With the Boston Celtics. Like,
nothing
this,
does.
This is your team, Celtics fans. This is what they do. Exactly. My God. It's tough to watch, but you had to know going into that game, once you kind of saw how it was pacing out, like, there was never going to be a point as a fan where you felt comfortable. And that should have been for both sides, for the Celtics side and the Miami side. Because you know, the best thing I can say about the Heat is they're not the Philadelphia 76ers. If you punch them in the nose once, they don't cry and run home. They'll go, okay, that sucked. What else do you got? And they do come back, and they keep coming back, and they keep coming back. It's like the end of Scream. You got to double tap. You got to check. You got to make sure they don't get back up.
Always.
And I kind of feel like we're around that point. Again, we'll have so much time to get into, like, what this game. Oh, my God. Game 7 of Memorial Day.
I can't believe this.
It's incredible. But in the meantime, I don't know if you're Jimmy Butler and you're the Miami Heat, how you sit there and look at each other and go, oh, this is okay. This is fine. They asked Jimmy Butler about it last night. He's like, oh, you know, they're still all smiles in the locker room. We're fine. I'm like, good. So you're the dog in the burning house going, this is fine. This is okay. Like, the Miami Heat had a ridiculous opportunity to clinch this and move on. And because they are the team I've been saying they are for literal months now.
Yes, you have. Fair point.
They let go. Oh, I'm not going to.
We can actually hear Ryan. We can actually hear from Jimmy Butler.
Oh, Jimmy!
After the game last night.
Oh, good morning.
I got to figure out a way. And the crazy part is, I don't got too much to do. We're gonna do it as a unit every single time, and we're gonna be in this thing together. I know that for a fact. You know, when we huddle up after the game, after a tough loss like this one. You know, everybody's smiling because we know we're very capable of it. I'm telling you, and we're not going to let up. I'm not going to let anybody quit. I'm not going to let our guys quit. I don't give a damn what happens. We're going to go in there. We're going to win.
I call BS.
That's so
just,
do I.
This is propaganda from Jimmy Butler being like, yeah, no, nothing to
this
see here.
It's all good. Don't worry. He said in game after game four and after game five.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. There's no cracks in our surface. I swear. I promise nobody's worried over here. And that's all it is. He's just trying to put a facade in front of this team because they are crumbling. And I said, we talked about this yesterday, and I said to you, I go, I am picking the Celtics tonight, not because of the Boston Celtics, which I was kind of right in that watching those final few minutes.
The Celtics were
just
far off,
peeing it away. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Miami crumbles. I was picking the Celtics because I knew Miami was simply falling apart, and it worked out.
Charles Barkley
made
the point. I can't remember if it was after this game or if it was the last game, because, again, not a lot of sleep last night in the Garvin household. Yeah. I was walking around my house just laughing. I'm like, yeah, I could not. There was like a solid hour before I started like looking at Twitter or anything like that where I was just
Ryan is the Joker now. This is Ryan's villain arc.
Oh, this is last my origin
night began
story.
It's his origin
this,
story.
This is
He's
the
just
thing that
laugh.
Finally put me over the edge.
Asking
in
why
this
so
city.
Serious all around his house.
If they stop smiling, then it's this crippling reality that they have to live in where they're like, we had three opportunities to put this team away. Like, we are the 3% Heat. We are exactly what the pundit said we were. Oh, they're not going to win. Listen, I understand. Like, again, this is the roller coaster that you have to be comfortable riding when you follow this Boston Celtics team. They do this. I think despite the fact that, yes, there was never really a point last night where anyone should have felt comfortable with this game, and yes, they had a 10-point lead, I still believe in this group, and it's why I was so bullish on them on Friday. It's why I was so bullish on them yesterday. Because as Charles Barkley said, the only team that can beat the Celtics right now is the Boston Celtics.
I couldn't agree more. Last night, they almost did last night too. They disappeared. Jason Tatum disappeared in the second half. He got a few free throws late, which helped. But, I mean, 0 of 8 from the three-point line. The entire team from three was the worst we've seen all season. They were 7 of 35. That's 20% for those bad at math from three last night. Whereas Miami was lighting it up, especially early from three. That's kind of what kept Miami in the game when Jimmy Butler and Bam were combined like 5 for 29. So it was a remarkable finish. I don't think I could have ever expected what we got last night. But now game seven in Boston, that building is going to be electric. And as you pointed out, there have been four teams out of the 151 teams to have ever gone down 3-0 in an NBA series. Four teams have pushed it to a Game 7, including your Boston Celtics. They are the fourth. This, though, is the first time a team has pushed it to a Game 7 and has home court.
It's almost a credit and a detriment to Miami at the same time, because they were, you know, the little engine that could team. That I will always know this team is the 3% Heat. Because they really should not be here. Like, they had an opportunity. I mean, when I say they shouldn't be here,
they were down 10 in a play-in game to the Chicago Bulls.
Exactly. And they gutted it out, and they came back. And, you know, Jimmy Butler had some nice performances against Milwaukee and against New York when he was hobbled with an ankle injury. In the same breath, I would also say both the Bucks and the Knicks also had their own injury problems as well. But you're starting to see what happens when the talents, the limited talent that you have in your Miami Heat team starts to let you down. Because, I mean, Jimmy Butler played almost every second of that game last night. Bam Adebayo, like, I was looking at the box score going, Kevin Love didn't get off the bench one time.
Yep. Where he had started a couple games in the series.
Absolutely. And, I mean, there is a value to having him on the floor. But I think some adjustments were made by my guy, Joe Mazzulla, who kind of had Eric Spoelstra on his heels a little bit, because he's looking at his bench going, oh man, I don't know what we're gonna do here. Like, at one point when Jimmy Butler was getting the matchups against Rob Williams, Joe Mazzulla put Derek White back in, and I think that ended up being a huge reason why they were able to hang on in the fourth quarter. I think Rob is important, but clearly
Derek White was phenomenal on the defensive end last night.
He's been phenomenal. Like, the last couple of games, like, we brought it up on Jones and Mego. Like, you can see with Derek White, when he's confident and he's, you know, feeling like, okay, my guys trust me. Like, on both ends of the floor, he has been such a difference maker for
this group. Guy had three blocks as a guard. Like, he was all over the place. I think defensively, in general, this Celtics team has completely turned it around from what we saw in the first three games. Like, the first three games, it felt like they were a sieve. There was no effort. There was no desire to play defense. Mm-hmm. It was just, let's shoot the ball, let's shoot the three, because we're just this good, it's going to fall. It didn't. They got pumped in game three, and then they were like, okay, here we go. We need to actually play defense now. And since game three, that's exactly what they've done. And I think, to me, that has been the biggest difference in this series, is it's game four, game five, game six. The game four and five, you held them under 100 points. Game six, they got to 103, but your defense was stellar. Like, you absolutely dominated Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo in that game until the final 3 minutes, when Jimmy just kept getting to the line. Like, and that's not even a defensive problem, because I think a lot of those calls were somewhat questionable, mm-hmm. and could have just been chalked up to really good defense, but it kind of is what it is there. 617-779-7937 if you want to get on. Shyman Garvin with you today. Producer Show Part 2, total reaction of the Celtics. We are all Celtics 8 to 10 here this morning. And we're going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
As we've been talking about all morning long so far, crazy finish for the Celtics. They are headed to Game 7 at the Garden. A miraculous 104-103 victory. Derek White made the game-winning shot with 0.1 seconds left after Jimmy Butler took the lead on three free throws. The Celtics shot.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, right? The Celtics shot 7 of 35 from three. Jason Tatum led the way with 31 points. The Red Sox knocked off the D-backs last night 2-1. Garrett Whitlock made his return from the IL and got the win, going five innings, allowing only three hits, including a first inning solo home run and striking out four. The West Coast trip will wrap up this afternoon. Will Fleming and Rob Bradford have the call from Arizona at 4:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Network, Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck gets a start for the Sox against Merrill Kelly for the D-backs. Bradfoe will have the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. And in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Stars keep their season alive with a Game 5 win over the Golden Knights 4-2. Ty Dellandrea scored the last two goals for Dallas in the third period after the game was tied 2-2. Game 6 will be from Dallas on Monday night. You think we could have two 3-0 comebacks in two different sports?
Ooh, that would be pretty neat, wouldn't it?
That'd be pretty epic. That's what's trending.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coach Masula, at times in the media, have been getting really, really criticized by a lot of media around the country. Now it's time to give him props. What in these last three games has he done and made the adjustment and helped him grow as a coach instead of on the other side giving him the – let's give him some flowers right now.
Joe seemed to stay calm. Joe took all the blame. He tried to down the sword. But in reality, we was all in this together, and we all had to make adjustments. I had to see the game. He pulled me to the side. This is where the game is going to be played. It's not going to always be you scoring the ball. Find a way to make an impact on the game, whether it's rebounding, whether it's your defense, your presence. So Joe's just been in our ear this whole time. His first year, but he got a poise. He got a mentality that keeps us in games, and now we back in it.
That was Jaylen Brown post-game with the TNT crew. Shaq, Charles, Ernie, and Kenny. Kenny was the one asking the question there. This is Shime and Garvin with you this morning right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, reacting to that ridiculous, ridiculous Celtics finish. And you mentioned Joe Mazzulla in the first segment, Ryan. And
I did.
I think he deserves some credit for last night. Like, there were some mistakes, but at the same time, aggressive timeout calls, which I liked. And I think some of the matchup stuff that he got together was good. And again, you hear that keyword that every Celtics player has been spouting for the last almost week now, and it's together.
Together.
We're in this together. And you know, Jaylen, Joe pulled me aside and said, you're not always going to be scoring the ball, but we are going to need you.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard not to get petty and obnoxious like
of course.
I really want to be.
Yep.
Because I'm seeing people on Twitter and other forms of social media going, oh, I guess they really do hate each other. It's like, guys, can we maintain a level of perspective that, like, and I mentioned it yesterday, like, it can be both things with this team. We're like, yes, they are connected and they are together because they really, it was like a wonderful life. Like, they saw sort of the end of the, okay, everybody except Derek White, who knew right away, and Luke Kornet. And I think Nick Song, who's the conditioning guy for Jason Tatum, those three people knew right away that was good. Derek White, Nick Song, Luke Kornet. Everybody else was like, "Oh my God, our season's over." Okay, so let's maintain a little, you know, perspective in all of this. Even though once again, I said I saw this coming, but whatever. Joe Mazzulla, I think, has definitely shown me a little more than I was expecting out of him. But, you know, when we talked about him yesterday with Lanny, I think we had all set the bar so low.
Very much
that
so.
Even like the bare minimum, we go, okay, fine. Yeah, he's showing growth. Like, okay, you're 100 plus games in and it's a must win scenario for your Boston Celtics. So, yeah, he should be showing some growth. The thing I really feel like I wish I had seen this coming. There's so much made of Eric Spoelstra, who is a good coach. Of course he's a good coach. But I think a lot was made of the coaching matchup as far as, oh, Eric Spoelstra's going to have something cooked up. He's going to know how to handle Joe Mazzulla. He's going to coach circles around him. And when you look at that Miami Heat team, like, there's only so much you can do. Like, if you're cooking and all of your ingredients are trash except for like one thing, like, your meal's probably going to be
pretty bad,
terrible more often than not. And when you look at like how the minutes were divvied up, like, I think Joe Mazzulla did a good job kind of putting Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat on their heels, because outside of like Duncan Robinson coming off the bench, and oh my God, Duncan Robinson,
those two mysteries at the end of the game, I'll never unsee those.
I talk about, I have not slept a lot. I don't know if Duncan Robinson has gone to sleep yet. He's just like staring at the ceiling going, oh my God, I could have ended this series.
He was the most devastated on that Miami
sideline. He should be. He had two wide open threes and to just put the game away, basically.
He was such a catalyst in why they, he was good in game five when nobody else was.
He was a killer in the bubble year, too. Like,
he was even pretty good most of this game. Like, he was... He hit that one deep three, and it really fired Miami
up.
Those
were momentum shots that he was hitting, too. Like, those were really important shots. And before I kind of get into why I think I was wrong about this coaching matchup, like, I got to say, like, yeah, Joe Mazzulla looked really good. There were times last night he jumped from, like, he almost wiped out a referee at one point because he was so frantically trying to get, I think it was Jaylen Brown grabbed an offensive rebound in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden you just see Joe Mazzulla just, right through the air, like a trapeze artist. It was incredible. I will say that the timeouts have been better. I think there was one point early on where I couldn't tell if Marcus Smart signaled the timeout.
I saw that as well.
Or Joe Mazzulla was walking to the court at the same time, so it's almost like they're
simultaneous.
They're sharing a brain a little bit. But there was definitely a point last night where I looked down. And it was, I think it was after one of those deep Duncan Robinson threes. And then, he drove in for a layup. Like he drove the lane. And at that point, it was
the Jimmy Butler putback off the Duncan Robinson missed layup there.
At that point, your lead was, I'm sorry. It was Duncan Robinson into a Jimmy Butler layup.
Yep.
At that point, your lead had completely disappeared. The crowd was in it. I'm going, all right, this is the time to kill some momentum. Let's go to a commercial. Let me see the trailer for The Flash for the 30,000th time. And
looks like a great movie,
hit me with a little Whopper, Whopper, and I'll be happy.
The BK commercial is amazing.
That was like a four-minute trailer for The Flash, too. I was just like, okay, how long and how much money?
Looks like a great movie, though.
That's plenty of time, guys, to settle this team down and take the crowd out of it.
Whopper.
But that didn't happen. And I was, because I think I was just kind of possessed at that point by where this game was. Like, it felt so obvious. You had four timeouts. This, you just use one of them. And again, hindsight being what it was, it ended up working out because they did start to turn things around. You had that 4-point swing where I think Jalen drove the rim.
Yes.
And Bam out of bio grabbed the rim. Like, what are you doing? Like, my
goaltend tech and an extra foul.
I'm trying so hard because we got time today. We're here until 10 o'clock. Nobody else is on to talk about this team right now. You got the producer's show.
Damn right.
617-779-7937. We see you, Joey. We're going to get to you in a second. I'm really fighting the urge to just lay into this Heat team and these Heat stars like I want to because we got plenty of time. But going back to the coaching matchup, Eric Spoelstra doesn't have the team.
He doesn't have the talent.
Because when you look at how the minutes clunked out, like Tyler Zeller got 2 minutes in that game. Other than that, your starters for the Miami Heat played almost every single second of that game. And
yeah,
my God,
Cody Zeller, a guy you just picked up off the street in February, is getting backup minutes.
I keep wanting to call him Tyler Zeller because Tyler Zeller played here for 3 years for
Brad
Stevens.
Only starter that didn't play the majority of the game was Max Strus.
Because he stinks on defense.
Exactly.
Like, Tatum and Brown's eyes light up when
and
they got that.
And as bad as Kyle Lowry is, they want him out there just drawing fouls.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry. Like,
he is so bad.
The point is, there isn't really an opportunity there. Like, if they're not gritting and gutting these games out, they can't win. And just for whatever reason, they've been able to hold on.
And you look at a guy like Caleb Martin. How many times is Caleb Martin going to go 21-15? Like, he's been really good in this series.
Playoff Caleb.
Yeah, playoff.
Playoff Caleb. We're not doing the playoff Jimmy thing anymore. Hit his
playoff Caleb.
Playoff Caleb. I think I might have been wrong about that guy because he has been the definition of steady for this Heat team. Like, I could not imagine where they are right now. Because when you look at how this breaks out, you're right. Duncan Robinson played 20 minutes and ended up having some big shots, but absolutely killed their chances of winning. Cody Zeller had some garbage time minutes at the end of the first half, And then Kyle Lowry comes in, and Kyle Lowry just is, they said it on the broadcast.
Yeah, then it was shrunk to a seven-man rotation.
Cody Zeller was in for 2 minutes. It was a minus seven. It was remarkable.
That's a great point. Like, you can't, you're not going to beat the Boston Celtics easily with a seven-man rotation. Like, you just can't do it. They can't guard this team.
And it's not like you can go to a nine-man or a 10-man because your other options, as you mentioned, were like Kevin Love, Haywood Highsmith.
Yeah, and even when you look at it, it's like they did a pretty good job of, you know, preventing the Celtics from doing what they always do and just raining threes, and they still lost. They still ended up losing the game, which I think is really good news for your Celtics heading into Game 7, because I think there's only positive regression there from the three-point line, which means a lot more points for the rest of your team. 617-779-7937 if you want to get on with Shime and Garvin this morning. Let's go to Joey in Palmer. Joey, what's up?
What's up, guys? Hey, it's Frankie Twix.
What's up?
Hey. The end of that game was like the craziest experience I think I've had since Aaron Boone destroyed our lives back in 2003. Like, that's got to be how the Heat are feeling this morning. I was just like Garvin at the end of that game when they passed it into Marcus Smart, and I'm like Michael Scott, like, no, no, anybody else. And then somehow Derek White tips that in. Jason Tatum flies in from the free throw line and just goes sliding out of bounds. I'm staring at the TV like, what is happening? Did we win? Did we lose? I have no idea. I know, like you're saying, Duncan Robinson missing those two threes at the end of that game. There's no way he slept last night. But we had no business winning this game. I think Caleb Martin made more threes than the entire Celtics did last night. I think, had we lost this game, do you think that had they not called that challenge at the end of the game, that Jimmy Butler would have only got two free throws instead of three? But because they reviewed it, they gave him three?
All right, thanks for the call, Joey.
We would be talking about that challenge.
I think 100% we would have been talking about that challenge. But I think, because you and I were discussing it at the beginning, before the show started this morning, they may have still reviewed that regardless just to see, because they needed to figure out exactly where he was in the act of shooting. And so the Joe Mazzulla challenge, yeah, it probably didn't work out for you, but they may have still looked at it anyways, and it really, and they still would have given him three free throws.
I think that it's a point in Joe Mazzulla's column, because there were definitely other plays where I think earlier in the season, if someone on his team wanted a green light special, then it would have happened. Like Jason Tatum at one point blocked Jimmy Butler. It was a clean block.
Yes.
And ended up being a foul against Tatum. And I'm like, yo, yeah, challenge this. And I ended up being wrong. Joe Mazzulla was right to hold on to that challenge for when they absolutely needed it. I can't
remember. Speaking of using a challenge, what about when Spoelstra used his challenge?
Well, I think the reason they did that is because they wanted to try and get Jalen his fourth right away.
Right.
And so that was the thing. It was like, okay, I know he hooked him. At minimal, we win the call, and it's just no basket. And at best, we get Jalen a fourth foul, and we can try and get him out of the game a little
bit. But now
I think
Miami,
that was
the rest of the way in that fourth quarter, they were only stuck with one timeout for the final, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they ended up losing. That's right, because Van Gundy kept screwing that. That was the other thing, too, by the way, play-by-play crew.
Not great.
Rough night for those guys. They just kept mixing everything up. And so the Heat ended up losing a timeout there. That's right. But it was tough for them. But at the same time, like, I understand the thought behind it, right? The logic behind it is, I want to get Jalen off the floor. Let's try and get him his fourth foul. So I get that, but that review from Joe Mazzulla, I didn't love. I didn't love the end of that game either. The way Jimmy Butler, like, completely initiates contact, has zero intent of actually shooting the ball, and then just flailing the ball into the air and getting fouls, to me, is just, it's so frustrating. There was the one in particular at the end, before the three-point play, he went, I want to say it was right at Al, and he initiates contact. Al goes straight up. He just goes right into Al's chest. The ball goes straight up in the air, flailing his arms, and it's a shooting foul. There was no intent to shoot whatsoever.
I thought Zach Zarba's crew did a good job early on. It was a very physical game, and I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
for sure.
This is
such a 180 from first half to second half.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is I don't know if they got together and you were like, listen, we've been letting them go a lot. This is starting to get chippy. I think at one point, like, I understand it's playoff basketball, but that whole, like, I'm with Jaylen Brown getting pissed at Kyle Lowry.
Oh, yeah,
for slapping down the way he did. Like, that's such, like, Jordan rules crap where, like, two guys, like, Bam and somebody else had already fouled Jaylen, and Kyle Lowry waddles in there and slaps down like he was trying to get the last cupcake, and he said, no, that's mine. And Jaylen had a right to be pissed. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Actually, let me finish this before I get into what happened on pregame. But I really liked how the officials decided to call the game in the first half. And then, I don't know, maybe they got a script revision. Who knows? But there really felt like there was a shift in how, especially that fourth quarter. Like, again, to be completely objective, the whistles were going quick against you, Miami. Kyle Lowry got two fouls fairly quick. Right around the beginning of that fourth quarter, and there was a stretch there in both the second quarter and the fourth quarter. I think the Celtics were in the bonus for a healthy stretch of time.
That third quarter, they were in the bonus in like the first 3 minutes.
I don't know. I was cleaning my room at that point. I was sweeping.
Because Mego even tweeted compulsion. That the third quarter needed a pitch clock because the third quarter took friggin' forever because the Celtics just kept getting fouls.
Was it long?
Like, foul, 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 foul. They had seven fouls in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the third quarter.
I was just able to, clean my room, sweep my house, do some laundry, and I came back. I'm like, why is there still 5.5 minutes left in this third quarter?
Yeah, that's why.
I had a tough time sitting down at one point watching the game. I got very nervous. As far as Jaylen Brown goes, I don't know if you guys saw on pregame, but he was talking to Abby Chin, and there it's been a talking point on my show, Jones and Mego, with Arcan, as far as like the health of Jimmy Butler, because as you mentioned, Chime, like the TNT crew has not been stellar in this series. And at one point, Reggie Miller, if he's not losing his mind over the amazing offensive prowess of Caleb Martin, playoff Caleb. Good morning, Caleb. He was talking about Jaylen Brown and how healthy he is. And it's the whole idea of like, listen, if you can be out there, you're probably fine. But Jaylen Brown did his pregame interview courtside with Abby Chin, and he was icing up his I think it was his left wrist. I think he is working through something right now. And so it was really encouraging to see that he was willing to keep going to the paint early on. Like, it's remarkable that this team was able to win a basketball. This Celtics team was able to win a basketball game by not dominating from behind the line.
Well, and
the pack. How is the wrist, and is it bothering you at all in this series?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the year, everybody got injuries. I got injuries all over compiled, but I'll never let that be an excuse. You'll never hear no reports about me coming out, saying anything was bothering me. You come out, you play basketball, you leave it all out there.
Meanwhile, he had more ice wrapped around his wrist than you'll probably have at your Memorial Day barbecue.
Well, and the reason they were able to stay in that game was because Tatum and Brown combined were 23 of 25 from the free throw line. They kept getting to the free throw. Jason Tatum was a perfect 15 of 15 from the free throw line.
Jaylen Brown's the greatest free throw shooter in the history of basketball.
Because I
have talked constantly. I love Jaylen Brown, but the big glaring flaw in his game, besides the fact that he can have a tendency to dribble the ball off of his foot or drive into traffic and not really know what's going on, he has historically in his career not been a good free throw shooter. Without
he was great last night.
I think he's probably somewhere in the mid to low 70s as a career free throw shooter. And I'll tell you, man, every time he went to the line, I was like, it was like watching a horror movie. I'm like,
you're
I can't look.
Biting your nails.
Look. That 4-point swing again when Bam Adebayo hung on the rim and then got it. I think he got a technical foul after the fact. I'm like, this is so big. Like, instead of them being up and going the other way, you have a chance to turn this
on them both
and make it a two-possession game. He hit them both. He hit them both late in the game, too, when I think Eric Spoelstra wanted to challenge if he got pushed or not, and he couldn't do it because I guess he made a dumb challenge in the third quarter. But, like, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, like, locking down. Like, and again, Tatum kind of was asked about it, I think, after game four. Like, oh, you didn't, you know, no field goals in the fourth quarter again. He's like, well, I made free throws. Well, yeah, now we're starting to see the importance of knocking your free throws down because Jimmy Butler missed a bunch of his early on in the game. Like, well, this crap matters.
Speaking of, one of the texters did point out with Missoula's challenge, the 4-1-3, that it added 0.6 of a second back on the clock, and that's a big difference now in hindsight.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate about what was going on with the clock. Like, Kenny Smith, I think, did a good job in the post game, kind of talking about on multiple occasions, like the clock that we're seeing as viewers does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions. No, I'm sorry, I just went to a weird place. Does not reflect
the actual clock.
What is actually happening with the clock in the game. So, regardless, if they were going to go back and look at that anyway, like yeah, that extra 0.6 seconds or whatever ended up benefiting Derek White and the Celtics. But for all we know, that was right all along. So, you know, thankfully, that's one thing I haven't seen the internet crying about the morning after a wild game six.
Yeah, it's hard to cry about it when, like, Miami had the lead. All they had to do was defend. They were playing it entering the commercial break before the inbound pass during the timeout. Jimmy Butler, one stop. All we need is one stop. And they couldn't get it. Because Marcus Smart yucked up a three, which went in and out, and Derek White was just in the right place at the right time with the greatest putback at the very least.
We would have had
decade.
Five full lines of trade Marcus Smart. Your whole I probably would have yelled for an hour about how your entire, and it would have been tough because Marcus Smart had a great game last night and has
outside
had
of missing that free throw at the end of the game.
The free throw and the fact that the ball, but I don't think. I saw a reverse angle when we were coming back from this last break, and it like just the whole spacing of that last shot did not look very good, where Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart all kind of standing on each other's shoulders.
Yeah, I want to get to Marcus Smart actually coming up here. 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on with Shime and Garvin here. Producer show, part day due. We're talking all Celtics till 10 a.m. this morning. Your Boston Celtics still very much alive in the Eastern Conference Finals. Shime and Garvin with you this morning on a second edition of the Producer Show on Memorial Day weekend here. 617-779-7937 if you want to get in and talking about all things Celtics up until 10 a.m. this morning, because that game last night deserves every second of our attention for the way it finished, the way the Celtics collapsed before it finished.
And then I think we got a Fitzy and Hart after us doing 4 hours on the Charles Schwab special.
Ooh, nice. Yeah,
very
yeah.
Good to hear.
Big Harris English guy.
So if you want to talk Celtics, you better get in with
KJ
us.
KJ will be all about the Red Sox West Coast.
Ooh, that's exciting. Ooh.
Nice. Big day here.
Big
on
bounce back game for the Red Sox. Garrett Whitlock back looking pretty good.
Yeah, they were up 2-1 and then just put up zeros on the scoreboard so everybody could go watch the Eastern Conference
Excellent.
Final.
Excellent.
That's what the Sox need. They need the attention off of them so they can just go out and play baseball.
Yeah. Good job.
We were so close from the season.
Too much Red Sox talk. We need to get back to
right
Marcus Smart.
Right.
Because I was saying to you during the break.
Yes.
I think last night, at least 3.5 quarters of last night's game was Marcus Smart's best defensive performance in the playoffs so far. Like, he looked like DPOY Marcus Smart again. He was just glued to whoever he was covering. He was on Jimmy Butler. He was frustrating the crap out of Butler, whether it was White or Smart. And then he would get switched on a Bam, and he'd frustrate the crap out of Bam. And it was just, it felt like I could tangibly feel Marcus's impact on the defensive side of the ball. And on top of that, he was scoring. Jalen had to come out because of those three fouls early, gets the fourth there in the third, and Tatum had disappeared in the third and in the second half, and somebody needed to do something, and Marcus Smart, for a stretch, was the only Celtics player to hit multiple threes.
The tangible feeling of what Marcus has been bringing to this team the last few games is very, very noticeable, because I think it stretches beyond just, like, I think it starts with Marcus, and I think, like, a lot was made of Marcus being, you know, Coach Smart and, you know, sitting in Joe Mazzulla's chair. And we talked about it in the last segment where they almost shared a brain, Joe and Marcus Smart, about, you know, calling a timeout and regrouping. But I've always said I think that's sort of the value of what Marcus brings to this team. Like, if you're getting 20 points out of him, that is a bonus. I think it starts with what he's seeing and how he's getting this group in line. It's part of the reason I was okay with seeing him coming off the bench and having Derek White start back when he wasn't playing and Derek was starting that week that Derek won player of the week.
Yep.
You know, I thought that there is a benefit to Marcus Smart being able to communicate and get guys in the right positions with that second unit, and he does it just as well as the offense. And it's not just Marcus. Like, I thought Rob Williams last night looked like the Rob Williams that we all started to see when he became like just an absolute game changer.
When he
game ruiner.
When Tatum threw that ball up and he absolutely broke the rim with his with that dunk, I was like, "Oh man, he is a
reached out
man.
About 18 feet to grab that
I
one with
immediately
one hand.
That assist that wasn't an assist that stopped me from winning a lot of money last night. Oh yeah, I remember that pass.
I immediately got nervous, however, when Rob was favoring that left
he
arm.
Came out early,
that was tough. But to Marcus, like, this is last night was the most minutes he's played in a game in this series by a large margin. The other games, 30, 35, 30, 33, 34. Last night he played 42 minutes.
42, yep.
Well, like, what gets lost is that there was no Brogdon, which means it was either going to be like more minutes for Hauser or the guards were going to have to play more minutes than Smart and White.
And Smart stepped up. In those extra minutes he played, he was great last night. Like, there were a couple issues down the stretch, but at the same time, like, I just think there were a lot of team issues down the stretch, so I don't put those all on Marcus. Am I mad he missed that one free throw? Yep, sure am. But I you know what? They ended up winning the game, and as me and my buddies in the gaming community like to say, when you win, all things forgiven.
Win,
I don't really care.
You don't question
when you win,
how we got
when
there.
You win, you win. Doesn't matter.
And I really, with the idea that this team won a game shooting as poorly as they did, that Marcus Smart was your number one three-point shooter. And not just three-point shooting, but like it was timely shooting, too. It was momentum killers for the Miami Heat because nobody else was doing anything. And I don't know if that was something that they talked about early on where it just felt like we're not really going to try and find our shot from deep. We are going to try to expose what they're doing with this zone defense crap. And it was working for the most part because they were able to get to the paint. It wasn't really until later in the game where they were like, all right, let's walk the ball up the floor, which is making me crazy, and try to get into our offense and try and take, you know, some outside shots from there. Marcus was huge in that aspect. So even though there will never be a time where Marcus Smart has all these points, but then I also want the ball in his hand on your season's last shot.
Yeah.
That'll never be okay. Like, yep, Marcus, love you, bud, but I'm never, ever going to say you should be shooting the ball over Jason or Jalen.
100%.
Like, it's never going to happen.
617-779-7937 if you want to get on with Scheim and Garvin here on a second edition of the Producer Show here on Memorial Day weekend. Let's go to Chris in Lynn talking Celtics. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, I give the Celtics a lot of credit for what they've done coming back those last three games, take the hot right out of Miami. But, you know, Butler, Van Gundy made a very good point about when a shooter gets the ball, you know, he goes for the shot. And if you don't do that, it throws everything off. Butler, when it counted, you know, he puts his finger up one more play. But all he does is Hollywood and look for fouls. The Celtics, you know, are driving to the hoop and trying to make things happen. And like you said earlier, the third quarter, the Celtics were in foul trouble. So I give the Celtics a lot of stamina for coming back.
Appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, the thing with Jimmy Butler, too, is I understand why he was searching for those fouls, right? He couldn't hit anything. He hit one timely three late in the fourth quarter.
Of course he did.
Outside of that shot, he was missing everything. And so,
yeah, before he had all those free throws in the fourth, I saw it was like 3 of 19.
Yeah,
with
it
like
was
11 points.
It was either Reggie or Van Gundy was like, he's just trying to get to the line because he's completely out of rhythm from the floor. He's like, I know I can hit free throws. That's what I'm good at. I just need to try and get to the line. So, like, I understand what Butler was doing. I just hate the way in which he
did it. And they mentioned it on the broadcast, the length of
the Celtics.
The Boston Celtics really threw Jimmy Butler off of whatever he wanted to do. And again, like, Rob Williams was that matchup there for a while. And I think part of and Jimmy was able to beat Rob a couple of times. But I would also say that I think they have like 9 or 10 block shots on just Butler alone. I think he was really thinking about, like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Like, if I'm not scoring, who am I kicking it to? Caleb Martin's on the bench right now. Who the hell is going to save
us? Gabe Vincent from three.
What am I supposed to do here? And, I mean, speaking of Jimmy Butler, I've tried. I think you guys would be pretty proud of me. It's been an hour, and I have not laid into the Miami Heat in Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo by proxy like I should be doing, like I really, really want
to
do.
Well, hold on to it, Ryan.
Oh my God. We will
let you lay into the heat. Ugh. We'll get to more of your calls coming up here. 617-779-7937. It's Shime and Garvin here. Part two of the Producer Show on Memorial Day weekend, right on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.